Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful, and thank you so much for inviting me. It's great to be back on your show.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's funny that when I was just saying earlier, as we were chit-chatting before the show, how I get to my Jamaican high pitch when I get excited. But whenever I talk to you, whenever I hear your voice, it really is so calming to me. So I'm going to sound a lot calmer today. It's so funny how energy is so relevant. And I think the more powerful of the energies are, it always wins. So I bow to you, my love, and welcome again. So today, I know our topic that we have chosen to talk about is how our relationship with ourselves determine how we relate to other people. So let's talk about that a little bit. For regular people, that might not make sense at all. So let's talk about how do you think our relationship with ourselves determine how we relate to others?
Well, it's my belief that the most important relationship that we have is the one with ourselves, and that is the basis for every other relationship that we go on to have with another. And when we're born into this amazing sense of self-love, and that's our birthright, and it continues as our birthright. But over time, sometimes we forget. And so this is not like a commentary on society. Everyone's fine and everything's great. However, we tend to lose our way and just forget how important the connection that we have with ourselves is and how it does affect every other relationship that we attract into our experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, that is really profound and just hearing it. And for someone who is trying to figure out how do I begin to love myself, because we know that a lot of our past events and occurrences really helped to shape the way we see the world, the way we see God, the way we see other people, in the way we transmit our energy and even translate the energy of other people. A lot of it has to do with the beginning of time, really. Like you said, it's our birthright. So what happened from birth, for a lot of us, we've gone through hurt, aches, pains. We have, you know, had tragedies. We have gone through different things. So someone who had the beginnings of their life shaped by not feeling loved, how do they now begin to transpire? How does that love begin to transpire if they don't know what self-love is all about, how to love themselves?
We have an inner being, an inner knowing, and that little voice within ourselves, which is not so little, is always there reminding. And I believe if we could tune back inward instead of looking outward, that we could begin to hear that voice once again, the voice of our own true self-love. And so it's sometimes just as simple as quieting the mind chatter, because we have this this ongoing dialogue, internal dialogue running in the background that we might not even be aware of. So quieting that mind chatter, I think, is helpful in the sense that in stillness, sometimes we feel reconnected with that inner knowing, inner being. And that's the first, like, wonderful place to start.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying quieting the mind. That is a pretty huge challenge in today's day and age. And I know, my platform is work-life balance and fulfillment. And sometimes when I think about that, it's like, okay, you have work-life balance, but where does the fulfillment come in? And it really is all about that special time that you take for yourself, quieting the mind and really returning to that self. But on a practical level, what are some of the things that an individual could possibly do to help them to quiet that mind? Because we know with the busyness of the world, and I think a lot of it we take upon ourselves anyway, because I know what you're going to say. Everything's a choice.
Okay.
So go ahead.
But the easiest way to do it is first thing in the morning when it usually is quiet. And if you are a parent and you have small children or, you live in a busy house with many others, to really set your alarm so that you're up before anyone else. And you have 5 minutes, the first 5 minutes, to address yourself first and foremost. And what does that really mean? It just means to quietly acknowledge yourself before you then get all caught up in the busyness of whatever your role is in your household. And I feel that a lot of people use that as their excuse as to why they cannot take time for themselves because of their roles that they have chosen or they have been given and taken on. So, to make time for yourself, even if it is 5 minutes, and sometimes 5 minutes is enough just to quiet your mind and to listen to the birds chirping outside. That is a connection. That is a reflection inward and sets the tone really for the rest of the day. So something so simple. And the message to yourself is that you're important and that you're loved. It's that easy.
It is. And you make it sound easy. And it really is that, like you said, it is a choice. We decide what we're going to do. Like you said, getting up those first 5 minutes, rising before everyone else in your household does, spending that time in, whatever it is, meditation, sitting in quiet time, just reflecting, whatever it is, acknowledging yourself. So when you're saying self-love, it's not something that we should be afraid of to say, well, I'm not feeling this or whatever. You're really just saying is pay special attention to yourself. Honor yourself first before you start your day.
Exactly. And, really, how can we love another if we don't start with ourselves first? Look at mother birds. They feed themselves, then they regurgitate their food and feed their young. So put your oxygen mask on an airplane before you put it on your child. We must start with ourselves first because when we don't, we end up resenting everyone around us because we have taken care of everyone else and we have not addressed ourselves. And really, that is a choice, even if it's an unconscious choice that we have made. It doesn't work. It doesn't feel good for us and it doesn't feel good for the people that we're supposed to be caring for. So it's not a win-win for anybody.
Right. And let me just interject real quick. Please, if you are able to adjust your mic a little bit, I hear just a tiny bit of an echo, but I think we're fine anyway because I can hear you, but I'm not sure if there's something special going on there. But you're absolutely right. It's making that time and it's having that discipline. And just like you said, if we follow the patterns of nature and the first law of nature really is self-preservation, pretty much. You take care of yourself. If you're not able to take care of yourself, if I'm a sick mom, physically, mentally, emotionally not well, I'm not going to be able to give and do for and with my family the things that, number one, makes me happy, and number two, add value to their lives as well. So, like you said, it's really just making sure that we connect with ourselves first.
And you're also setting a wonderful example for your children or for others.
Mm-hmm.
When they see you take care of yourself, that's really setting a wonderful example for them to take care of themselves and address themselves
mm-hmm.
first. So I believe that our connection with ourselves is singularly the most important. And from that connection, there is only self-love. I mean, that's what
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's go into, because you're talking about from that connection, the only thing that comes from that, or the greatest thing that comes from that, is self-love. Because then you begin to value yourself. You begin to value each breath that you take. I find for myself, I mean, a simple thing as having a cup of coffee or walking the dog, or just literally one foot in front of the other walking down the stairs. And I usually will have my phone in my hand, and it's like, oh, this feels so good. I want to capture. You feel like you just want to capture every moment because you're so engaged and you're so indulged in it. So let's talk a little bit about that ego connection, because a lot of people are afraid of that word ego.
Yes, they are. That's a trigger word for a lot of people. So I really feel that when our ego is engaged, we're not connected at all. And at that
mm-hmm.
moment, if we could ask our ego to stand down, we have the opportunity to really hook ourselves back up with ourselves. Because
mm-hmm.
When we are connected to ourselves, there's no room for the ego. And there's no judgment. And there is only love for ourselves and all others. Ego
mm-hmm.
is a defense mechanism that we do need. We absolutely need it. And so I have great respect for the ego, because when we're in danger, there is, you know, fight and flight, and the ego kicks
mm-hmm.
in, and it's a wonderful thing. It's, you know, self-preservation. However,
mm-hmm.
99% of the time, there is not much room for the ego if we're going to consciously create an ongoing connection with ourselves. So to be able to have that dialogue with ourselves and with our ego and ask our egos to stand down is really a great conversation that we're having internally.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to be, have some recognition of what's going on and have some control and make some good choices. So,
absolutely. I think sometimes when, and I know, and I the number in a sense identify with that ego self, because sometimes I think, well, I'm being emotional or I'm an emotional person, but really it is that fight of that ego versus my own consciousness. That mediation between the conscious and the unconscious. And so, like you said, we all need the ego. We all have one, and it is a defense mechanism. It helps to protect us. It helps us to, it's kind of like that voice that says you're okay until you get to be okay. It's kind of one of those things that kind of make those excuses for where you're at, and if that's not where you want to be, so to speak. So like you said, having that ego stand down.
And sometimes if we could just get abundantly curious about ourselves, which is such a lovely way to be interested in where we're at and where we want to be next without any judgment. So I'm always encouraging people to just get very curious about yourself. And it's a lovely process to be curious.
Mm-hmm. I always, and not always, well, I've thought this for many decades now. I think, you know, just being on an enlightened journey and a path from a very, very, very young age. And as I became a young teenager, and I started writing more poetry, and, you know, I knew my expression of myself was so important. But it really helped me to get curious more about myself. And as I grew older, I began to get even more curious or wonder more about this person, not just the physical person, but all of me, spirit, mind, and body, and how it all connects. What does that mean for, you know, myself in terms of loving myself and appreciating myself and accepting myself and not looking at anything else to determine how I feel about myself?
And that's the loveliest way to navigate if we can, as often as we can, because it is from the inside out. There's really nothing out there. I mean, there isn't. We are our own greatest resource. And if we would tune in to ourselves, we would rediscover that. And, you know, this is what this whole connection and self-love thing is about. But once you experience it, you get really hooked. And you start to really listen to yourself and trust yourself. No, you know, no one ever said, I shouldn't have listened to myself. But
right.
People say all the time, I should have listened to myself. Because that inner voice is forever trying to get your attention, tapping you on the shoulder. And most of the time, we can't be bothered, we're busy, we're not interested, later, tomorrow, not now. And it's fine because our inner being is on call 24/7, 365 days a year, and, you know, we'll be there whenever we're ready. So, you know, the other part of this is that we can take our whole life to reestablish that loving connection with ourselves. We can even wait till we get to heaven. But it would be wonderful to do it here and now and, you know, have heaven here and now instead of waiting till we get to heaven, where, of course, there will only be that loving connection. So it's a choice, an option.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we think about loving yourself, what are some of the signs that were side effects? Someone who is not truly engaged, who's not truly loving themselves, what does someone like that look like? What do we look like when we're not loving ourselves? I know one thing that comes to mind is someone who's always angry or, you know, unappreciative, ungrateful. What are some of the other words?
Well, let's talk about what it feels like. Because forget about what it looks like. When we're not loving ourselves, it does not. We don't feel good. We're in a very low vibration. Sometimes we're very shut down, and oftentimes we are projecting that lack of self-love onto everyone else, finding fault in everything. So it's the government, it's our family, it's the environment. I mean, there's a zillion different ways that we express that disconnection that we're having with ourselves. But it just doesn't feel good. And so the cue is, if you're not feeling good, quite possibly you're just disconnected in that moment. Because it really only takes one moment to become reconnected. So I think that we need to use our emotional guidance system as a way to help us determine when we're feeling good, when we're not, and how we can hook ourselves back up to a better feeling place. Because we can only do that for ourselves. I mean, no one can do that for us. Nobody.
That's true. And we don't know what feeling looks like, because you can see someone walking around and you don't know all their feeling, or someone who's fallen in love and you don't know what that looks like. You just know, they just know what they're feeling. You can't even describe. I know I was going through an emotional time a few months ago, and, you know, I was saying to someone, a friend of mine, and I was just thinking, I might be looking fine on the outside, but on the inside, I was telling my girlfriend, I'm going through this emotional battle and turmoil. It's the disconnection and the reconnection of my ego and myself, and just not feeling good, not feeling like I'm on a high vibrational frequency. And I mean, didn't get to the shutting down part, the fault finding part, but like you said, it's when you're off emotionally, you need to understand or know when to get back on. So someone who doesn't know this, what, or doesn't understand this, what can they do? How, when you say getting back on a high vibration or getting back on that happy frequency or a good vibe feeling, how does someone get from not feeling good to feeling good?
So I think one of the highest vibrations is appreciation, which is very different than gratefulness. So when I sometimes am walking through a grocery store and I walk through the floral section and see things like the beautiful flowers, especially I live in Chicago, and sometimes we have gray weather and cold weather, but all of a sudden all of my senses are, you know, just flooded. And I breathe in this sense of appreciation, and I'm transformed. So to take your attention and to put it on something or someone or a smell or a taste or a memory that you really appreciate, I mean, that's transformational. Instantly, you're transformed, and you go from a low vibration of being disconnected to a much higher vibration of being connected to yourself and your senses and this feeling of appreciation. So it's so simple, and yet it's so powerful. So that's a very practical. Or to turn on music. You know, distraction is a really great tool for people. If you're just in a bad place, turn on some music, because the vibration, the high vibration of music sometimes is just enough to just kick us back in gear. So the power of music, the power of appreciation, anything just to get ourselves out of that funk, momentary funk, because I believe all of this is very momentary.
Absolutely. And I also think that, you know, it also helps to be on a path or stay on that journey of self-love and self-fulfillment and, you know, understanding how to counteract when you have low frequency, low vibration, when you're really just feeling down in a funk, having those tools to be able to get back on and really be able to identify it. I think a lot of times people stay down or they have self-loathe, not self-love, because they tend to stay in that gray, dark place. And because we don't have the tools or the, just like you said, the simple practical things, we don't recall them so often.
You know, the other thing that's super important and I am so passionate about is personal responsibility. So if we decide that we're really in a low place, but we're making a conscious choice to stay there, I think that's very empowering for people to say to themselves, you know, I'm really not feeling great today, and I'm really just going to stay right here. That in itself gives you power, because you're not a victim to anything. You are choosing to remain where you are. And there's great comfort in that, knowing that you can choose to stay there or when you're ready, move along. So that in itself, I believe, is really an empowering tool for people to take personal responsibility for where they are in that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I have this thing, and, you know, I've kind of devised this tool for myself, and it's the rule of three. It depends on the magnitude or the situation or the emotion or what I'm working on or working through, whatever it is. It's either I have 3 seconds to 3 seconds to change my mind, or 3 minutes to think about something, or 3 hours to mull over something, or 3 days to mourn something, or 3 months to just get over it. So
that's a great
it all depends
system.
On, yeah. And it's like, because, you know, I mean, and I never really get to 3 months, because it's like, okay, no matter how, and 3 months would be, I can think of something that would be a 3 month grieving period. It must be if I really lost a loved one or something. Not even when I lost my dad, it didn't take 3 months, because I understood the spiritual aspect of losing someone, and I had no regrets, and I felt like, you know, we expressed everything and all my memories and everything, or just really happy thought. So there wasn't a grieving moment. So I'm not at the 3 month mark yet, but the 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days, and 3 months. After 3 months, if there's something that is bothering me or something that got me captive, in 3 months I would have gotten over it.
Well, the power in that is that you get to choose it all, which is just
right.
Amazing. You know, that's wonderful,
right.
And it sounds like a great system.
Yeah, like you said, and it really goes back to personal responsibility. So if you know, hey, Charmaine, these are my choices that I have to deal with this situation. So nothing, everything, there's a deadline to it. It's like, no, you can't do that. But taking personal responsibility is, you know, what you mentioned earlier is making sure that we take that responsibility for our own happiness. And if you're happy, you're engaged. If you're engaged, you're fulfilled. And if you're fulfilled, then you will lead more of a fulfilling life and feel the effects of that versus just barely breathing and making it through life without any regard for your own self or happiness.
That's right. And I really hear people oftentimes talk about struggle and surviving. And I like to help people move into a place of thriving, because we're really here to thrive, not to survive, you know.
Exactly.
And struggle is optional. You know, I don't believe we need to struggle at anything, or we don't need to struggle in order to improve or to feel better. It's a choice. We can choose to struggle, and that's fine, but make it a choice instead of being a victim to the circumstance. Because,
go ahead.
No, I think that's it. Otherwise, everything is just a little bit of contrast. You know, something that, other than something that we want, and contrast is a lovely thing, because then we really get to identify our desires. And desire is the jumping off point of everything. But this idea of struggle and self-sacrifice, and I don't buy into any of it. I really don't. And when someone tells me how big they are,
I don't think nature struggles to do anything. So
No. And when someone tells me how busy they are, I am not impressed at all. I feel my heart goes out to them, because I believe that we can work smart and we don't need to work hard. And yet the society is always rewarding us for hard work, when I don't think that that's necessary. None of it needs to be hard.
Right, exactly. I think work is work. It's what you do, because that's just the definition of it. But I don't put hard in front of anything, because I think if I put hard in front of it, then I'm calling it hard, then I'm making it hard. So whatever you call it, that's what you're creating. That's what you make it. And I feel the same way about the word struggle and challenge and all those words. To me, they're words of negation. I mean, you know, other people want to use it in their vocabulary, that's fine, but I am all about making sure that, you know, that our energy flow freely. And we only have just a minute left in the show, Jamie. So your book, The Ever-Loving Essence of You, is about recreating the greatest relationship, and that's the one that we have with ourselves. And your book is still available on Amazon, correct, and also on your website.
That's right. Yeah, it's a timeless masterpiece about self-love that's so easy to read and so practical.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great resource.
Absolutely. Well, this was quite an interesting conversation. I really feel like I'm certainly relaxing into the evening and just really having this conversation with you today. Jamie Rhonda, thank you so much for being on the Charmaine Show. I really appreciate you being here. The Ever-Loving Essence of You, and your website, again, reminds me.
It's www.jamie-learner.com.
Absolutely, and that's where you'll find everything. And, of course, follow you on Twitter, which I do. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show on Blog Talk Radio. Have a fantastic evening.
Thank you. You as well.
Thank you. We'll And thank you for joining us on this special episode of Talk Radio.